everyone, and welcome to those of you joining us online. My name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors, and look, wherever you're watching us from, whatever place, maybe you're South Florida, maybe someplace else, maybe a state, a country, so glad you're here today. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome in our online audience right now? Come on. Look, we're all one family here, whether in person or joining online, we're all one Vineyard family. And so this weekend, we are wrapping up a series that we've been in for the past 4 weeks that we're calling The Dot. And we said this, that all of us have a dot, at least one dot. So what's a dot? A dot is like an identifier. A dot could be your age, a dot could be your gender, a dot could be your race. And what we said with these dots is that sometimes what happens with the dots is that people, all they see is the dot. They don't see the real you. They can't see past the dot. All they see is the dot. We've talked about this when it comes to our age, that some of you in this room, some of you joining me online, because of your age, you felt judged. You felt discriminated against because of your age. Maybe you were too old. Maybe you're too young. I mean, I'm 35, so I don't got that issue, but it might have been that issue for you. And so we've been pressing in this series on one particular dot, and that is the dot of race. So this weekend, as we finish our series, we said this, and we're going to be having this weekend an honest, candid conversation about race. And so joining me on stage this weekend are some of our pastors and some of our staff, our leaders here at our church. I want to introduce them to you, Pastor Ibayi over here, Pastor, Spiritual Growth Pastor. Pastor Christina, right here, next. Our worship director, Nate, is right here next. And so they are going to be joining me and having a candid, open, honest conversation about race today. And so we're going to get into that just in just a moment. But before we get to that conversation, I just want to let you know this, that there is a verse I just want to draw your attention to. It says this, and all this is from God, meaning all the stuff that God has blessed us with, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're charged with. We reconcile with one another, men to women, race to race, reconcile with one another. And there's a word I've been teaching you throughout this series. And anybody remember what that word is? Good. Gracism. Now, again, quick reminder, gracism. Okay, if you drop the G, you see the next, racism. We know what racism is. Racism is when we reject someone because of their color, class, or culture. But if you put a G on the front of that for God, all of a sudden you've got gracism. And gracism is extending grace and favor to people because of their color, class, and culture. And so that's what we've been trying to talk about in this series. And so I just want to get right into our conversation today with our team here joining me on stage right here. And so I just want to start with some questions. And so here's get us going here a little bit. You know, this whole idea of race and racism, so much of this is we're just really unaware of sometimes, even to ourselves, sometimes our actions, sometimes our thoughts, sometimes it's simply being unaware. And so I just want to start with our panel today, and if you have something, I would love for you to share something in your life that some incident, some circumstance, something that happened in your life where you became aware of not only your own race, but you became aware perhaps of some racist thoughts or ideas that maybe you were even unaware that you had. So I want to start with Pastor Ibayi today and let her kick this off.
Put me on the spot. Yes.
Yeah. Why not?
Better you than me.
You know, it's true that we can have blind spots.
Yeah.
And this came very true and real for me when I was in my undergrad. And I was at Trinity University. Woo!
Yeah, yeah.
And I was in a place that I hadn't even paid attention to. I didn't realize that all those experiences that I had actually caused some things to be harbored inside of me and had actually started taking root in me without me even realizing it. And I just want you to know that I have had like real one-on-one encounters with racism, even in 1983, there was crosses burnt on our yard, and I said 1983. So I didn't realize really how the impact that it had had on me until I was sitting in my class, and we had to do a communication exercise because I'm a communication major, and our professor put us 2x2, and I don't remember all of the specifics about it, but I do know we had to have conversation, and she teamed me up with a white male, and as we began to communicate, I didn't even pay attention to what I was doing, but I literally turned my back to him. And I knew what I was thinking. I was thinking, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want you to tell me anything. You don't get to do that with me. But my professor thought that he wasn't communicating effectively. So she called it out. She said, she called his name. She said, apparently you weren't keeping Ibai's interest. But deep down inside, I knew that wasn't what it was. And on my way home, God confronted me with that thing. And my realization was I had become a racist myself. I was literally saying, you don't get to do that because you're white and you're a white male. And I repented. I literally cried out to God because I didn't want that inside of me. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, but that's just not enough.
Yeah.
So what I started doing, I started sitting right next to him. I started having conversation with him. And we got along so well. Bruh man started bringing me fried fish. But these are the things that can happen when you're willing to first confess it and ask God to change it, and then you put some action behind it. Because you know there's a verse that says, but if we say we love God and don't love each other, we are liars. We cannot see God. Have any of y'all seen God yet? I mean, we see the works of God, but we haven't seen him. But how can we say we love God who we have never seen and hate our brother who we see every day? That's the truth of God. And let me tell you, God transformed my heart in that place. But we do. We have blind spots. But I'm so grateful that God has changed and continues to change my heart in that area.
Yes.
So.
Yes. We'll stick with the ladies. Pastor Christina.
All right. I'm next. Thank you for going first. I appreciate that. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Christina, and I am your resident Cubana. Any Cubans in the house? Woo! So I am actually the first of my family to have been born here. The very first. I have 14 first cousins on one side, and I think we're like 8 on the other. And I was the first one born here. So I was born and raised in Miami. So I thought that I was Americana, right? I was all, you know, I had that teenage attitude. I was all snippy, and I thought, I'm American. I was very proud to be American. And not that I rejected it, just I was more American, right? I thought in English, I was American. And then I moved to Kentucky. In my 20s, with my small family.
What are you saying about Kentucky?
Honestly, I have great relationships. I met some wonderful people, so nothing against Kentucky. It was just, I realized how Hispanic I am. Apparently, I'm loud. Who knew?
Really?
I was so... Really? None of us knew that.
Be quiet, people.
Really?
I'm very passionate. I missed my food. You could not get a croqueta to save your life. Space. So I would, you know, I didn't realize that the rest of the country didn't kiss each other upon greeting. So you should have seen these pasty white people when I was kissing everybody. They were like, what is wrong with you? I was all up in people's space. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a great hugger. They were not interested. I was like, don't touch me. So that's when I realized, and for the first time ever, in Kentucky, I experienced racism. So I remember inviting, we were, again, we knew nobody, nobody. We had gone for my late husband to go to seminary, and we knew nobody, and so we were trying to connect. Nobody had invited us after church, so we were like, oh, that's odd, but we'll do it. You know, we've been in church for a long time, we'll invite somebody. And I remember inviting our first family over to our house for lunch, and immediately was told, oh, no, sorry, we don't like spicy food, and left. And we were like, I'm Cubana. Our food is delicious. No spicy. Delicious. But whatever. I wouldn't even have fed you Cuban food. I know how to cook a pot roast. Like, come on. So I was just, I was so taken aback. But God is so faithful, because that was just the beginning of the journey. The beginning of the journey was being on the receiving end and really being exposed to other cultures and other things. I loved when they told me that I had an accent. I'm like, do you not hear your twang? Like, I have an accent? It was funny. But it was the beginning. God is so good, because it was because I experienced it, whatever. But from there, my world just, God just began to do a deep work. We moved back to Miami, and then I began to see racism in my own heart.
Yeah.
Racism in my own heart. And maybe this is the first time you're really thinking about this. This would be, if I had anything to say to anybody, is to just be open.
Yeah.
To acknowledge that certain things that we, can I speak to my Latino brothers and sisters?
Yes, please do.
In love, take this as in love, but things that we do are racist. For example, I'm going to speak to myself, but if it speaks to you, because it's something that a lot of Latinos do. When we do this, that is racist.
Mm.
When we see any Asian person,
yeah,
and we call them Chinos, we say they're all Chinese, that is racist.
Yeah?
Because there's over, was it 40 Asian? 40. Over 40 Asian countries.
Yes.
I didn't like being called Mexican when I was in Kentucky. I don't have anything against Mexicans. I'm just not a Mexican. Yeah. I'm a Cubana. But because that's the only Latins they knew, everybody was Mexican. So those are the little things.
Mm-hmm.
There might not be any ill intent in our heart.
Right.
But it's still something to look at, to let the Lord open our imagination and whatever. And I just want to, she got to tell me yesterday first, so I'm going to steal her thunder and tell her first.
What's that?
She has changed my world. She has changed my world to have open and honest conversations with her and to learn about her culture and for her to embrace me with my loudness and getting all up in your space. In all the meetings, I'm usually there first. And I'm waiting for her to come into the meetings, and I'm always giving her my come hither look. Come sit next to me. She puts up with all of that. She puts up with my loudness, my touchiness.
I love her. All right? Yes.
But she, I've talked long enough, but she has taught me so much, and she does not even know how much the Lord has used her. So I just want to encourage, especially all my Latin brothers and sisters, to just let the Lord do a work. And realize that it's the little things. It's the Bible tells us that it's the small foxes that spoil the vine.
Yes.
So be willing and open and hear, willing to listen and hear other people's heart. So sorry, I talked too long. I'm done.
That was great. Thank you for your honesty, transparency, both of you. So Nate, let's hear from Nate, and let's first of all celebrate your ethnicity.
All right, thank you. So I know Pastor Christina gave a shout out to all the Cubanos in the house. Yo soy negro cubano. Do I hear any love? So I have to be honest. That's like 1/18%. My great grandfather was Cuban. Went to Jamaica. He was a Cuban shoemaker. Went to Jamaica and married this
one. So I
got some Jamaicans
in the house.
Yeah, man. My Jamaican family. All right, I see you. So my mom's from Jamaica. My dad is from an island called Beckway, which is near Trinidad and Tobago. I know everybody's familiar with Carnival, right? So down there. I was born and raised here. When I first became aware of racism and my own insecurities and my own racist tendencies as well, really started when I moved away for college. I was here in Miami and had a few times where I was stopped by the police because I was speeding. Hopefully the statute of limitations have extended, so when I tell this story, they won't come looking for me. Those encounters were always great. You know, they told me to slow down, told me, hey, you know, you want to be safe, and let me go on my way. You know, I got warnings, and that was it. Well, I moved to Central Florida. I was 18 years old, had just graduated high school, and moved in with my godfather. And I was attending their church. I was playing at their church. We went to a Wednesday night Bible study, and we had just left that Bible study. I was maybe two or three blocks down the street driving home, following my uncle, and I got pulled over by four cop cars. So they surrounded my car, pulled me over. I'm 18 years old. All I was always taught when I was brought up was, you respect law enforcement, keep your hands on the wheel, that kind of thing, you know? So I did that. I was very respectful to the officers. They actually asked me to step out of the car. My godfather pulled over and said, hey, you know what's going on? We just left church. And they told him, sir, we need you to leave or else you'll be arrested for obstruction. So he left. They asked me if I had anything in the car, if they minded me, them searching the car. I was 18. I'm like, no, I just came from church. There's nothing that I was worried about. They proceeded to pat me down, and then they told me two things. The first thing they said was, you fit the description of someone that we were looking for. The second thing they said was, we pulled you over because your taillight was broken. So I'm like, okay, which, I didn't ask them, but in my mind, I'm like, which one is it? So they let me go. They never searched my car, let me go. I got home, and my godfather was waiting for me outside, and he was angry. And I didn't understand why he was angry. So, you know, I told him what happened, and he said, give me your keys. Took the keys to my car, went in the car, turned the car on, and hit the brake pedal. The brake lights were fine. So that, for me, was the first time that I was really confronted with, like, wow, I was profiled because of the color of my skin. And not realizing that, you know, that was the world that some people lived in. But what that did to me is that then started to make me have an aversion to law enforcement. And I have family and friends that are in law enforcement, but it developed this negative connotation. And one other thing I want to share is I had always viewed law enforcement in a positive light. I grew up, anybody remember D.A.R.E.? I'm probably dating myself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, there's a few people that remember D.A.R.E. And I don't know if anyone's familiar with the Police Athletic League, PAL. Anybody familiar with that? That used to be an organization where police officers and law enforcement officers would take their time in the summer, and they would open up a camp for underprivileged youth as well as just anyone else that wanted to sign up. And a lot of those great early experiences that I had on were with law enforcement. They would take us on field trips. I got to do a police car ride along and all of those things. But just from that one event, it started to shift my perspective.
Wow.
So for me, when I was really confronted with that and you know, it experienced some other things, I really had to reach a place where I said, you know, this is not the way that God wants us to be, you know. I had shared a verse. I don't know if we can put that up. It's in Mark. But as they're pulling that up, it says, Jesus answered the most important, and this is what instructions he was giving us. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And PK is probably going to talk about that, Imago Dei. And we talked about that during the series. And it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. But then Jesus goes on to say this. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. So for me, I had to, when I was confronted with my own racist thoughts and tendencies, I had to ask myself, what am I going to do? So what I started to do is a few years later, I bought a motorcycle. I don't know if there's any motorcycle riders in the room, but I love motorcycles. And I bought a motorcycle, but I intentionally got connected with a group of law enforcement officers that rode motorcycles. They had a motorcycle club. And I joined their motorcycle club and got to hang out with them, go to dinner with them, just get to know them as people.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's very important that we all take those steps. You know, if we're uncomfortable, have a conversation with someone, get to know them. Because a lot of times there's thoughts and insecurities that we may have that other person may not even be thinking about.
That's true.
You know, but if we never bridge that gap and break down that barrier and have those conversations, we're both going to stay on our ends. We're going to draw that line in the sand and there's not going to be unity.
That's good. That's good.
good. So, most of you know that I'm originally from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and living here in Miami now for quite a few years. And as a white male, growing up in Green Bay, it was just everybody was white and much more white than me. They were pasty white. And so for me, it was this whole race thing just was, it wasn't really an issue growing up for me. And I didn't realize growing up that being a white male put me in a position of privilege. I was unaware that it put me in a position of privilege. We were all white, and I was raised on a dairy farm. We didn't have anything more than anybody else had. But as I began to learn, and by the way, these past 2, 3, 4, 5 years for me have been, I've been on an incredible learning curve. And I'm not done learning. We never get done learning.
No.
I'm learning with you. I'm learning with all of you. It's just been an incredible learning curve with me with when it comes to race and all these issues. And so what I was just simply unaware. See, this illustration really helped me to learn that if you think about it, if you're right-handed in this room or joining me online, 90% of us are right-handed. And so we don't realize it, but we live in a right-handed world. Everything is right-handed. Scissors are right-handed. The way you sit on a desk and you write, the arm comes up this way, and a left-handed people got to go like this. And golf clubs, if you go to try to play golf, I play golf. You try to go to a place and rent a set of left-handed golf clubs, you can't even find left-handed clubs. They're all right-handed. So right-handed people grew up in a right-handed world. But left-handed people, you know that's not your world. And so I grew up in a world, right-handed people, of what you might call it right privilege. And then I come to realize, well, there's another whole world I grew up in, and that's white privilege, being a white male. I was unaware of this, but I'm becoming more and more and more aware of this. And what really got me going in this and understanding more about this was last summer and being with Pastor Ibai, my friend. More than just a staff member here, our friends. We've been to each other's homes and we've eaten meals together. I mean, we've shared our lives together. And when this whole thing went down last summer with Ahmaud Arbery and some of these other African Americans and people of color losing their lives, and just to be with her and to sit with her and to just see her weep and to see her cry. And I'm saying, Ibai, what is happening in you? What is going on? And she begins to tell me all these things that are happening, and she's crying not just because of this incident, but because of the past of this and the past of this and the past of this and all the layers of this. And I begin to realize that, wow, there's a whole other world out there that left-handed people know when they're living in a right-handed world, and people of color know when they live in another world. There's a whole other world out there. Now, here in Miami, it's a little different here in Miami because we have, you know, Miami is 61% Latino here in Miami-Dade County. In fact, just the other day, I went and found a new primary care physician, and I'm not going to say their name, but I went to the office, and I had to fill out all this paperwork, and when it got to the question of ethnicity, there were only two options on the form. It was either Hispanic or non-Hispanic. And I thought, so I checked Hispanic. I mean, I wanted to be, no. I thought, wow. It's like either you're in or you're
out.
We'll let you in.
They let me in. See, so much. So what we're talking about here, this was about awareness. There's just so many things that we're simply not aware of. And all of us here on the stage have said, this is our story of being aware. And we weren't aware, but now we're more aware. None of us are aware. Well, all of us are growing and learning. None of us have said we arrived. I don't know that we ever arrive in this issue, but it's an awareness. And I think the awareness is a really key issue in this. But just to celebrate a little bit, I mean, look. This weekend is about sharing some stories, but also celebrating our diversity. I mean, I can't imagine my world without Pollo Tropical. I mean, you know, where I grew up, nobody eats black beans and rice.
Yeah.
This is not an option.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine a world anymore without that as an option.
Right.
You know, yeah. And fritanga. I mean, how do you exist? So how about any of you guys have any experiences like this where you're celebrating our diversity?
I'm surprised you didn't mention my macaroni and cheese and my barbecue ribs when you came over to the house, right? Hey, you know, but that's the beauty of it, isn't it? That we get to share our differences together. You know, don't miss that. That's the thing I love. And you know what? I even, as sad as it was for me to see what has happened in these past years, when I saw what happened to Ahmad, it was sad. But the thing was, that was very different for me, was that I got to share this with my friends.
Yeah.
I got to sit in a place that I felt safe and I felt loved. And they didn't just stare at me, but they cried with me. And that's what we have to learn to do. Validate each other's stories. Don't discard them or even get to a place where is it really true, or act as though, you know, well, that's you and not me. But instead, let it be a we. Let us be an us. If I hurt, you hurt.
Yes.
If I cry, you cry.
Yes.
Because we're all in this together.
Yes.
But you know what? This is a team where we can cry together, but we can have a really good time together. And you know, me and this here lady right here, we have had many years together. But we've had good times. We've cried together.
We have.
We've gone through some really hard times together. But you know what? We have that as a story for ourselves. Very different, but very alike.
I get to tell us the story today.
All right, go ahead.
She got to tell a story last night. So first of all, I love you all. I love that we are part of a diverse church. Yes. I love that one time an African-American family asked me to do their funeral. I didn't say this, you know, they're grieving, they're whatever, but I'm meeting with them, I'm taking notes, and in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, we have a black pastor on staff, right? Like, I'm like, why in the world? Because they started to tell me things that they wanted me to do that I had no idea what they were talking about. So I just took plenty of notes, and then I walked over to my sister, and I was like, all right, talk to me about this funeral procession. What in the world is that? So for those of you that don't know, so I'm about to stand up to demonstrate. So we, in the African-American culture, as I understand it, some will do like this procession, right? So I'm scared to death. So I go to Ibai, and I'm just honest. And I said, Ibai, they've asked me to do a black funeral, and they're talking to me about all these traditions that I have no idea what it's about. She goes, I got you. Don't worry. I'll be there. I'll coach you through it. You can do this. So I'm at the door, and apparently I'm supposed to walk in. I'm supposed to have this processional, but somebody has gone ahead of me, right? And this, I believe he was a pastor, is walking in, and with all his swag, he is strolling in, and he is proclaiming God's word. He's reading from the scripture. He is dancing. He is just whatever. He's got all this swag. I'm like, I can't even walk and chew gum. I'm like, and so Ibai is so gracious. She's outside the chapel door. She's on the outside, and I'm looking at her and just in a panic. I'm like, what am I doing? She's like, you got this. She goes, listen, don't try to be black. Be white. It's okay. She goes,
yeah,
you. Walk and read the word, and you've got this. Walk and read the word. And I'm like, she goes, don't try to be black. You be your Latina woman. It's okay. They wanted you. They know what they know you're not black.
Exactly.
It's okay. I was like, okay. But the whole time, my whoopee was right by the door going, you got this. You don't have to have swag. You got this. So
yeah.
That was, but it was great just to have those honest conversations. But I love that you guys asked me to do an African-American funeral.
And I also get to do Latin funerals. Y'all ain't tell me that y'all have funerals from 8:30 at night till 11:30. You know, I'm like,
listen, back in the day, it used to be all night, just so you know.
I heard you.
Yeah.
But I wasn't
until the next day. So consider yourself blessed.
But this is what we are becoming, y'all. Like, I got invited. And I didn't feel bad. Like, I didn't feel awkward. I felt like I was with my brothers and sisters. Amen. Now, granted, they sang those hymns in Spanish. I told y'all my tongue don't work like that. But I enjoyed it because I began to sing and rock with them. You understand? But I did have to take a nap before I went to do that funeral. Because I just wasn't prepared. But it's a beautiful thing that we can do that together. Don't avoid it. Get into it. Invite it. Jump into these opportunities. Because we are making our world change when we do this intentionally.
Yes.
It can start from just a small group, and then it continues to spread. But we got to make a decision. Are we going to do this? Are we going to make this difference? And it's not enough for us to do it in here. We need to carry it outside these doors.
Amen.
And really intentionally love other people.
Amen.
So with that being said, and this time goes by so quickly here in this conversation mode. With that being said, we want to invite you, Miami Vineyard family, both in person and online, we want to invite you to a couple of next steps. Because we don't want this to be a four-week series and just to be over. We want to invite you to a couple of next steps. So here are a couple of next steps. First of all, on our Miami Vineyard app, if you have downloaded our Miami Vineyard app, if you go to that app right now, you'll see there's a choice you can make on that app. It's called, what's it called?
Moving from them to us.
Yes. Moving from them to us is a section on the app you can click on. Moving from them to us. And here's what happens in that section. First of all, for you personally, there are some great resources there for you. There's some recommended books. There's some recommended podcasts. There's some recommended videos that you can watch. There's some recommended action steps that we can take as individuals as we try to move this conversation forward. So on the app and on the website, moving from them to us, because we don't want it to be them. We want it to be us. So that's one thing we can do. Individually, personally, we can do that. But here's a second thing I want to invite you all to, again, both in person and online. A week from Tuesday, May 11th, on a Tuesday night here at our church and online, we're going to continue this conversation in person and online. You can join us here at 7 o'clock, May 11th, and it's an opportunity for us. You heard from us today, but we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
So this is a conversation that we're going to be having together. So if this is a passion of yours, racial reconciliation, if you've sensed that God has been moving in your heart and things have been happening in your mind, and you say, I would love to be a part of the solution, I would love to move this conversation forward, then we would love to have you join us in person on May 11th or online on May 11th at 7 o'clock. Pastor Ibai and myself are going to lead the conversation in person. We have another team leading online, and we'd love to have you become part of this conversation. But you got to sign up and register. If you want to come to this event, sign up and register on the app or on the website. Or if you're in person today, we have a table in the lobby. If that's easier for you, that people can help you at the table in the lobby today. But we really want to move this conversation forward and become, and we don't want to let it drop after 4 weeks, because we want to be, folks, people are looking.
Yes.
For a group of people that love each other, that are for each other, that have become one of different races and different language and different ethnicities. They're looking. There's got to be a way for these people to love each other. And
yes,
the church has got the answer, and that's us.
That's right.
My prayer is that Miami-Dade County would come to us and say, teach us how you did that.
Yeah.
Because we want to be that kind of community.
Yes.
Teach us how you did that. So we want to We're going to be wrapping things up right now for this part of the service, because at the end of the service today, you might remember we're celebrating with Dippin' Dot ice cream today at the end of the service. So, and we got Dippin' Dots for all y'all today. So I would love it if you would join us in a word of prayer right now. And I'd love to ask Pastor Christina if she would just lead us in a prayer right now together.
Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you so much that you created so many different flavors, Lord God.
Yes.
Yeah.
So many different countries, so many different colors,
yes. Yes.
So many different languages, Lord. And every single one is an aspect of your beauty, Lord God.
Yes.
And I just thank you for that.
Yes.
Thank you that we get to see that, to be a part of that. Thank you for this city, Lord God, that is so multicultural, Lord God. Thank you for this church that is so diverse. Thank
yes.
you for the glimpse of
yes.
what heaven will be like. But Father, we know that we, like Pastor Kevin said, we are always growing, Lord God. It's one of our values here of this church, always growing. And so we know that the conversations are not done, the learning is not done. And so we come to you today and we say, Lord, teach us. Teach us how to love each other, Father God.
Yes, God.
If anybody in this room, Lord, has yes. heard that we have taken any kind of side, I pray that you would break that, Lord God.
Bless you, God.
That truth would be the banner, Father, for we are not here to take any single side. That is the point. That is the point. We are here to say that every single person in this room
yes.
matters to you.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Matters to you, and therefore, Lord, they matter to us. They matter to us. Their story matters. So, Father, I just thank you for the work that you have done, that you are doing, and that you're going to do. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to give it away. To give it away. Thank you. You don't need us, but you allow us to be
yeah.
part of the change, Lord God.
Thank you, God.
And I thank you for that privilege. Bless your people today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's hear it for the team. Can we hear it for the team? Yeah.